Are you ready for a good word this morning? Anybody who comes to church anytime, but especially on a holiday weekend, needs no bad news. I think we need some good news, and that's what the gospel is. And especially today, I want to share with you 9 verses of scripture. It is the recording in the Gospel of Mark of one of the great miracles Jesus performed. Some of us here today need God to give us a miracle. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at verse 25, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." What a great story. And it's a real life story. It's not a parable Jesus told to prove a point. It's historical. It actually happened. Just imagine what it was like for this woman who was in such suffering and pain for so long and was finally able to touch Jesus. I want to talk to you this morning about touching Jesus. 12 long years this woman was sick. That's 4,383 days. She had a consistent problem. Every day for 12 years, she was bleeding, and it could not be stopped. She had a female issue. If she had been alive with that problem today, because of modern science and modern medicine, she would have been the candidate for a complete hysterectomy, no doubt. But she was never able to stop bleeding for 12 years. That meant so much more horror in her day than it would even in our day today. After 12 years of bleeding, she was exhausted. Can you imagine? Physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted, and even financially exhausted. She had gone to every doctor she could and had spent all of her life savings on medical bills. But instead of getting better, she was worse than ever. Her condition also was a stigma. It was scandalous because of the Jewish law. Read the book of Leviticus, and especially the 15th chapter when you get home. The Bible under the law, the Old Testament law, which was as close as they could get to knowing God in that day, said that not only was this woman who was bleeding for 12 years, not only was she unclean, but anybody who touched her would be unclean. In fact, Leviticus 15 and verse 19 clearly says that whoever touches her shall be unclean. So here is this woman, sick for 12 years, weak, exhausted, bankrupt, and she was a social outcast. She could not hug anybody, not even her husband or her children. She could not kiss her husband. There was no intimacy in her relationship in marriage if she in fact had a husband. She was not by the law allowed to go to temple and worship with the others in her day. She could not entertain friends and have guests over for a meal or even coffee. She was isolated and outcast from society. By law, the law of Moses required that nobody touch her and that she touch nobody. And in fact, the law of Moses is very clear. Read it when you get home. You'll only want to read it once. But under the law, a woman during that time of month, every month was declared legally by Jewish law unclean and couldn't touch anybody during that time. And even after that time was over, the law required she wait 7 days before she could be pronounced clean again. Not only that, but her bed linens, all of her clothes, any furniture she sat on had to be cleansed ceremonially. Washed, cleansed, ceremonially. It was the law. This woman was an outcast socially because of her physical condition. And when her neighbors would walk near her home, the talk of the town was, they would point to her house and say, the unclean woman lives there. Imagine that condition. There's an old rock song. Those of us as old as Lawrence Tuning would remember it. I just dropped in to see what condition your condition is in. This woman had a condition. Now, you may not have the same condition she had, but you too have a condition. And today, God is dropping in just to see what condition your condition is in. This woman, sick, exhausted, bankrupt, isolated, outcast, untouchable, unclean. Legally, the law declared that over her. Not only was she suffering from her physical sickness, but the law was also killing her. The letter of the law killeth. But she was about to find out that the spirit of the law gives life. There is such a difference. She had no resources left. She had gone to all the doctors, spent all of her money, and was not a bit better, but in fact had continually gotten worse. That was her condition. Now, when you have nothing left to rely on but God, He is there. It was different in her day than it is in ours. In our day, we know the blessing of the New Testament, the new covenant that we have with God, supersedes and overrides the law of Moses in the old covenant. Our ancestors had it rough. We have it blessed. We can get to God anytime. If you're a believer and know the truth, all you have to do is speak the name Jesus and you're in His presence. Anywhere, 24/7, it was not that way in the old covenant. When this unclean lady lived, she could not get to God anytime she wanted to. But she was aware on that day this is my window of opportunity. She heard that Jesus was coming to her town, and she had already heard of the miracles and the many others he had healed when he visited them. And so she took advantage of a window of opportunity. We miss a lot of blessings because we're not even aware the window's open. The truth is, in our covenant, it's open all the time. The question is, are we desperate enough for a miracle to reach out and touch him? She was desperate. She was being killed by the rule of law. The rule of law, we hear about that a lot. Is everybody subject to the law? Even in our day, it's a political hot-button issue. The rule of law, everybody must abide by it. The old covenant was filled with the rule of law. Imagine living under the law. It was ridiculous. Not only can you find the requirements in the Old Testament, especially Leviticus, but even in history books, 2,000 years ago, the Jewish law, in order to be considered an upstanding, religious Jewish man or woman, you had to keep the law. You had to wear certain scriptures around your wrist or around your forehead. You had to quote certain scriptures, so many, every single day at certain hours. You had to pray certain times of the day. You had to disrupt any meeting you were in, any company you were entertaining when the time came to pray or to quote a scripture. You had to do it, or else you were disbarred from fellowship with God. You lost your standing of being in an upright position before God and before religious people. The law was a killer. When you went to wash your hands before a meal, you had to use only enough water to fill an eggshell and clean your hands very well. That was the law. That was part of the cleansing before a meal. It was the law. The law said that if the king's chariot was driving down the road and passing you, and everybody else would bow and wave to the king, you could not do that. Or you had to do it, excuse me. Even if a snake, this is what the law said, even if a snake was working its way up your leg, you could not fight the snake off. You had to obey that rule of law. You had to let go of that snake and just hope for the best while you followed the rule of the law and salute the king as he was passing by. The law was a killer. It was the rule of law that governed her. But today, we're not governed by the rule of law. We're governed by the rule of grace. So much better. This woman was desperate. Desperate enough to take a chance on breaking the old law. The Message translation, Jesus looked at her and said, "Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole." The Amplified Bible, Jesus said to her, "Your personal trust and confidence in me has restored you to health. Go in peace and be permanently healed from your suffering." Here's what I love about this story. Most people, even in the four Gospels when Jesus was on earth, most people, even in our day, wait for God to touch them. But she was a model. She was a leader. She showed us an entirely new way. She had an attitude of, "I'm desperate enough that I'm going to be the one reaching out and doing the touching. I'm going to touch him." And it began with a thought in her mind. Hey, you need to look at your thoughts. What are you thinking? Are you thinking, "Well, it's been 12 years and I've been this way and God's not anywhere yet, and so I'll probably just die like this. Are you thinking, well, if God's ever willing to touch me and heal me, then here I am, Lord, if you're wanting to do it ever. Are you that random? What are you thinking? Some people are a lifelong victim. Well, whatever, whatever. Really? That's the way some people think. Well, if God can if he wants to and if he's ever ready to. Really? No, this woman took the initiative. She broke the law to get there. She should not have been in that crowd. It was illegal for her to be in that crowd in her condition. She probably tried to remain anonymous, trying to hide her true identity when she went to church. I don't want anybody to realize I'm here. I've been suffering like this. Nobody has any idea. She had been 12 years without corporate worship. Illegal for her to go join the others at the temple. Now, desperate, sick, so desperate, she broke the mold on being touched by God. She said, I'm not waiting any longer for him to do the touching. I will touch him. I'll go where he is. I'll touch him. And as soon as, that's what she was thinking. I don't know what you're thinking about your condition. The condition your condition is in. But I'll tell you what she was thinking. The Bible says, for she thought to herself, if I can just get close enough to touch his clothes. That right there was a lawbreaker. The law said if anybody unclean like that woman touched your clothes, you had to take your clothes off and wash them. And they had to be ceremonially declared cleansed after that. But no, she didn't let that stop her. While most people wait for Jesus to touch them, you may be sitting here right now today and your condition has gone on a long time. And it's not gotten any better. One reason it has is because of what you are thinking. This lady changed her mind about that. And she said, I'm going to decide my moment of deliverance. Now, sometimes you have to wait on God. It works that way too. Certainly, his timing is perfect and his timing is not ours. How many times have I thought, God, you're late? And how many times I have said to myself, if I were God, I'd be here by now. But his timing is always perfect. And if you're going to trust God at all, you have to trust him with the timing as well. He seems to be more concerned with our maturity than he is concerned about our immediate deliverance. So she decided, I'm not letting this moment pass without a miracle. I'm not letting this moment pass without a miracle. And that's the position we should find ourselves in this morning. In fact, that's the way it really is right now. If you're desperate enough, you won't leave here without touching him. You can decide, this is my day. He is here. He's approachable. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened. I'll relieve you from that. I'll give you such a lighter load than what you've been carrying. Give you a heavy one to me and take my light one in its place. It's an invitation. In this covenant, he said, come unto me. The Bible says, God speaking, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's God promising you that. Why not seek and search today? You don't have to go on exhausted emotionally, psychologically, an outcast, untouchable when God invites you. The Bible says, God speaking again, call unto me and I will answer you. and I will show you great and mighty things you've never seen before. That's not Carl's promise. God promises that in his word. Now we can do it anytime. Back in her day, Jesus was limited. The power of God in earth was limited, contained in one human body, the body of Jesus, his physical body. Today, he's not in the box. He's not restricted or restrained or contained to one person, but the body of Christ is everywhere today. He's approachable all the time. What are you thinking? Her miracle began when she started thinking. If I can just get close enough to, I don't even have to shake his hand. You don't have to anoint my head. If I can just get close enough to him to touch his robe, I will be made whole. Now, wait a minute. There's a difference between being healed and being made whole. There's a biblical reason. There's a differentiation, and both words are used. You can be physically healed and still not be whole. God could have healed her only. Her physical condition would have improved instantly. The bleeding would have stopped. But if he had not, in addition to healing her, made her whole, she would have still remained an outcast. Still been financially bankrupt from all she had spent. But when he healed her and made her whole, he restored her standing in her family, among her friends, in her community. No longer was she an outcast and untouchable. Now everybody wanted to get to her because of what God had done in her life. He healed her and made her whole in every way. Now listen. We're getting ready to offer prayer for those whose condition is in a bad condition. And you're realizing right now it's been this way long enough. I shouldn't wait any longer for God to come to me. He is here, and I will touch him. I will be like this lady. I will get to him, and it's not that far today. And I will receive my deliverance today. Is that what you're thinking? Many of you are thinking right, if you're thinking that. And in just a few minutes, we will have an opportunity for you to touch him. But here's the truth. You don't know how long it could be before you are as close to the kingdom of God as you are right here, right now. I don't know your condition. Some of you may be here randomly today. Some of you, you know, against all odds, on a holiday weekend, go to church. This may be for you. I believe it's for many. And you don't know how long it will be before you are as close to the kingdom of God as you are right here, right now. This is a window. This is an opportunity. If you need physical healing, emotional healing, if you need inner wounds and scars healed, not only healed, but if you need to be made whole, healing and wholeness, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And you don't know how close you are to that or how long it may be before you're this close again. The time to act is almost here. I was watching Billy Graham this past week, a rerun, of course, of one of his great crusades. And I've always appreciated Billy Graham. I'm not like some of the other Pentecostals and charismatics who felt, oh, I feel so sorry for Billy Graham because he don't have the Holy Spirit. Wasn't that awful? Feel so sorry for Billy Graham because he don't have what we have. I mean, how ridiculous. What a great preacher of the powerful message of the gospel. And I watched him again this past week. It was a crusade from years and years ago. He was in his mid-age, not a young man, but not the old man who died just recently at age 99. The greatest evangelist certainly in our lifetime. And he was preaching to a stadium that was packed. I don't know where. It was in America. Because he didn't have a translator. But there were three balconies that wrapped around that whole huge place. I mean, tens of, and every seat filled with men and women that came to hear a man with a message from God. And I was so blessed. I was consumed by the powerful words he was speaking. And he said this about the possibility of touching Jesus and him making a difference in your life. He told the story how that earlier in that same crusade, and you know his crusade sometimes went on for weeks in the same city. And he said, just the other night here in this stadium, while I was preaching, a lady who had been a believer all of her adult life had made an appointment to speak with one of our counselors. And while I was preaching, one of our counselors was ministering privately to her in that box office right up there. You know, in these big stadiums, you can get a box office to see what's going on and yet be private and comfortable. And Billy Graham said, this lady told our counselor how horrible her marriage had been, how her husband of 21 years had cheated on her and abused her verbally and emotionally and even physically, and how she just could not take it anymore, and that she had told him to leave, and he finally did. And Billy Graham said, that was going on up there in that box office just a few nights ago while I was here preaching. And the lady was wounded internally, scarred perhaps for life unless she got a touch from God. And in the middle of her counseling, she looked through the glass in the box office, looked down at the massive crowd and said to the counselor, oh my God, there's my husband. He's come forward to receive Christ into his life. And Billy Graham said, what was a sure divorce after 21 years of an abusive marriage? Jesus was touched by that man, and that man touched Jesus. And Billy Graham said, that husband and that wife left arm in arm that night. That's what Jesus can do when you touch him, the change he can make in your life. I'd like for Pastor.